Hey, it's your host, Carter. I wanted to give you a little bit of a warning. Kids who are under the age of 13 might find some parts of our show a little bit scary, so listener discretion is advised. Now, enjoy the show.
I heard if you get hit by the catabus, you get free tuition for the semester.
And if your roommate gets hit by a bus and dies, you get an automatic 4.0 GPA.
That might come in handy. Did you see the syllabus? 5 books in 1 week, plus an article.
Are you saying that we should push our roommates in front of a bus so we don't have to read?
No. Have someone else do it.
The reading or the pushing?
Actually, though.
Here's one I heard. Don't go on the second floor basement of the Stacks and Patty.
What? Is it like where people go to hook up?
In that case, we should go there.
It's haunted! Some girl got stabbed down there back in the 60s. She rotted for 2 days before they found her.
Oh my God.
Some people say it was Ted Bundy's first murder.
Ew!
No way.
I read her ghost haunts the library calling out, "Make love, not war."
Okay, now you're screwing with us.
Right? That's a joke.
Google it, man. And don't go in the book stacks alone.
It may sound like an urban legend.
A co-ed found mysteriously dead in a dim library.
Doomed to forever haunt students during finals.
Her murderer never caught.
And for some Penn State students, it is just that. Campus folklore. A myth. A ghost story.
But for Betsy Ardsma, it was real life.
And real death. Hi, I'm Carter Roy.
And I'm Wendy McKenzie. Welcome to Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories.
If you want to listen to any previous episodes of Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories, you can find them all on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to subscribe. You can also listen on our website, parcast.com, spelled parcast.com. A new episode comes out every Tuesday. Visit our Facebook page, Parcast, to join the conversation.
Today we're opening our investigation into the murder of Betsy Ruth Ardsma, a smart and good-natured 22-year-old with a loving family, a steady boyfriend, and a promising undergraduate degree. So why, among thousands of students, was she killed?
Was she a long-term target or a random slaying?
40 state troopers couldn't figure it out.
And 40 years later, the murder of Betsy Ardsma in Patty Library is still an active investigation. May 1969, Betsy Ardsma graduated from the University of Michigan with degrees in art and English.
Congratulations, Betsy.
We're so proud of you.
Thank you. Oh, these flowers are beautiful.
Just like you.
David.
We did it, sweetheart.
Betsy, I can't believe it. We're graduates.
Jan!
Aw, look at you two. Friends forever.
Can you get a copy of that for my parents?
Of course. Let me take one more. David, sweetie, you get in there too. Smile.
Oh, Bets, I almost forgot.
Look, he finally asked.
Last night? Oh! I'm thinking an August wedding. Will you be my bridesmaid?
Oh, Dan, I'd love to. But I think the Peace Corps will have shipped me off to Africa by then.
That soon? Well, can't you wait?
Can't exactly keep the Peace Corps waiting, I suppose.
All right, round it up. Let's get out of here.
Already?
It's high time you girls get out of Ann Arbor. What with that killer romping around?
Richard?
What? College girls are dying left and right. And I'm sick of worrying my Betsy will be one of them.
It's not the time.
It's always time for keeping my daughter safe. At this point, I'm convinced Bets will be safer in Sierra Leone than she was in college in the U.S. of A.
I'll be very safe, Daddy.
Good. For now, let's get you back to Holland.
Betsy had grown up in the small town of Holland, Michigan, which was known for two things.
Being religiously conservative and being Dutch.
The Ardsmas were both of those.
Betsy made her parents proud. She was a hard-working star student with a sensitive side.
She went on mission trips and taught art to underprivileged youth in the nearby cities.
Though the local boys always pursued her, she rarely paid them any attention.
Until she met David Wright.
I'm gonna miss you when I'm with the Peace Corps.
There's only one solution to that.
What?
Don't go.
But I already have my plane ticket to Africa.
You really committed to Africa? Won't you get some monkey disease?
People come back from the Peace Corps disease-free every year. Besides, I have all my vaccinations.
Look, Bets, I'm real sorry about this, but I can't wait for you, you know?
But we're going steady.
A year's a long time.
I know. It's as long as we've been together.
I want to get married soon. Betsy, I think we should...
Let me think about it, okay, David? Please, let me think.
Betsy was torn between her love of helping people and her love of her boyfriend.
Not for the first time, she'd faced conflict between what she wanted and what other people wanted her to do.
Right. Betsy met David in college at the University of Michigan, but she didn't start out there.
After high school, Betsy expressed interest in the University of Michigan, but her family disapproved.
They wanted her to attend her parents' alma mater, the small, local, and religious Hope College.
Betsy always strived to please those she loved, so she enrolled at Hope.
And hated it.
First off, Betsy had to choose a field of study between her talents in art, English, and biology. She made the practical decision to follow Hope's well-renowned pre-med track.
Once again, not following her heart.
While at Hope, Betsy complained.
This place is not as alive as it should be.
That sounds more than a little unnerving.
Well, she certainly had a way with words. However you put it, Betsy was having trouble making friends at the tiny college.
So after freshman year, she switched schools to the University of Michigan.
And majors to English.
Her unnerving writing would come up at her funeral.
The pastor cited a dark poem Betsy wrote, entitled, Why Do I Live?
What foresight.
That's what the pastor said. He thought Betsy wouldn't have been angry about her death, so the mourner shouldn't be either. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Uh-huh. Back to Betsy's conflict with David. Had she learned her lesson about putting herself first?
Nope. She resolved the problem.
By giving up on her dreams.
By delaying them. Well, Betsy soon announced that she would be attending Penn State for grad school instead of enlisting in the Peace Corps.
Yup, this has got to be it. Betsy?
Yes, you're Sharon?
Yeah, hi. Wow, your closet is so organized.
Thanks, I guess.
No, it's impressive.
The rumors are true. This floor is co-ed.
And as such, it'd serve you well to learn to knock.
Doors wide open, princess.
At least we know what you're studying.
Charm?
Manners.
Anyway, I'm Sharon Brandt. Nice to meet you.
Richard Hefner.
Betsy Ardsma.
I live down the hall, in case you ladies get lonely at night.
I have a boyfriend.
Don't be so sensitive. He can come, too. I knew I'd grow on you. Want to grab a smoke?
Sure.
I don't smoke. You two have fun.
Let me just grab a cigarette.
I have one you can bum.
You are growing on me.
Penn State, the same university where David was going to medical school.
Sort of. See, while they were at the same university, the medical school was in Hershey, about 100 miles south of the main campus.
But that didn't stop Betsy and David from spending every weekend together.
Okay, you win. Betsy was only at Penn State for her boyfriend.
Betsy and David were young and in love and happy, right?
Well, to start with. But distance and traveling every weekend can strain even the strongest relationships.
David! David! David!
Hello? Betsy! Oh god, what time is it? Shit, I'm sorry.
What were you doing in there?
Asleep. Sorry, come in. Looks cold out there.
It's freezing.
Come here.
I waited half an hour for you to come to the door.
I'm sorry. A hug will help you warm up.
I rode a bus 100 miles to see you.
Yeah, so at least hug me. Look, I had a nap after my shift last night, and I overslept. It happens, I swear. Check my room. There's no other woman here. No footprints in the snow outside my window.
I don't think you're cheating. I would never cheat on you. I'm just really cold. This is hard, David.
You're telling me. I work weird hours. I'm never caught up on my studies.
I'm sorry.
Least I can get is a kiss from my girlfriend.
Well, I did come all this way.
I miss you, Bets.
I miss you, too. And I miss teaching. Helping people. I'm so...
Shh. Soon. We'll both be helping people soon. Now let me help you out of that coat.
Struggles aside, Betsy continued to write letters to David daily.
And she made her own life, too.
Our story will continue in a moment.
after the break.
And now, back to our story.
Betsy was deeply immersed in her coursework, and she still found time for activism.
We have to end the draft. I mean, look at me. Do I really look like the guy you want defending you?
I agree. The president is risking American lives for an un-American cause. But what are we, as students, going to do about it?
We should all ditch class.
That's good. I like that idea. But there's got to be something we can do that won't negatively impact our education.
We can protest.
And get arrested and kicked out of school? That's a negative impact on our education.
If enough people show up, they can't kick us all out of school, right?
Yeah, stick it to the man.
Here's an idea. Make love, not war.
While I respect the idea, I'm not sure that's the best way to publicly represent the Penn State student body, Richard.
But it sure is the best thing to do with a Penn State student body.
Anyway, people shouldn't be drafted for a war they don't believe in.
Sorry, Betsy, couldn't help myself. You're right, though. We don't need to be in Vietnam. My real suggestion is to get the administration involved. The government will pay real attention when we aren't just a bunch of grad students.
That's a tough one, but I like the idea.
Good.
At Penn State, Betsy found friends among other students, including her neighbor Richard Hafner and her roommate Sharon Brandt.
Hey, what you doing this weekend?
Visiting my boyfriend.
Again?
We see each other every weekend.
So that's why you chose Penn State.
What? No.
Well then, why are you here?
School.
You're smart as hell and totally too good for the English program.
I like the program. Okay, honestly, I couldn't stay in Ann Arbor. With that killer on the loose, it's not safe there anymore.
I heard about those murders. Did you know any of the victims?
No. And it was better I left when I did.
Maybe when David comes down for a weekend, we can all hang out. You, me, Richard, Jean from 304.
That'd be fun. Maybe not Richard, though.
Right. He might make your boyfriend jealous.
Richard and I are just friends. I just don't think he and David would get along is all.
Sure.
Fitting in or not, Betsy still had misgivings about Penn State.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, Betsy. One second, let me get your father on the line, too. Rich, Betsy's on the phone.
Betsy! Hello, sweetheart. How's school? Better than Sierra Leone?
Well, I don't know why I'm here. I have this weird feeling about being here.
Don't you like your classes?
Classes are fine. I'm learning, I'm making friends, I'm still hanging out with Sharon and Richard, and I see David sometimes.
Oh, is he not making time for you?
He is. He just works constantly. He doesn't have much time for letters.
I'll give him a call.
No, Dad. It's fine, really. Things with David are fine. Actually, I might transfer to Harrisburg. A little closer.
Harrisburg's nice. Not as good faculty, though.
Oh, you really miss him. I'm sorry, honey.
Thanks. So you think I should do it?
You're a grown woman. It's your decision.
Just as long as you don't go back to Ann Arbor.
I thought they caught that murderer.
They think they caught the murderer. The suspect's still awaiting trial.
Well, I sure hope they got the right guy.
I do, too. But it's always better to stay on the safe side.
And keep going to church.
Of course, Mom. How's everything at home?
So we've got Betsy's relationship on the rocks, another guy moving in on her, and a killer on the loose. Are you sure this isn't a teen TV drama?
Just ingredients for a good story. Besides, the killer was all the way in Ann Arbor, and Betsy always claimed Richard was just her friend.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later.
Let's just focus on the killer, since it comes up a few times.
Fair enough. Betsy attended the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor from 1966 to 1969, and a murderer dubbed the co-ed killer,
or the Ypsilanti Ripper,
or the Michigan murderer, had been active since the slaying of Mary Therese Flezer in the summer of 1967.
The killer was believed to have abducted, raped, and stabbed or strangled seven young women in the Ann Arbor-Ypsilanti area by the fall of 1969.
You said stabbed?
Well, some of them were beaten up, too.
Well, no wonder Betsy and her family wanted her out of Ann Arbor. But by Thanksgiving, Betsy was still undecided about staying in school at University Park.
The uncanny something's not right sense was still getting to her, but she remained focused on her schoolwork.
So focused, in fact, that Betsy skipped visiting her family for the holiday.
To save time and money, she opted to spend Thanksgiving with David and a small group of his medical school classmates.
Great job on the dressing, Vivian. This is delicious.
Thank you, Jerry.
Betsy, what did you cook?
I brought wine. A 67 Riesling.
Oh.
You don't cook?
Lay off her.
I love Riesling. Let me get the corkscrew and you can pour the boys a few glasses. Come in the kitchen.
Betsy, you and David are so cute.
Oh, made for each other. Here's that corkscrew.
Thanks, Lucy. I'm glad he's making such rad friends over here.
Aw, you're too sweet.
You're gonna be such a great addition to the Medical Students' Wives Club.
Oh, that's a club?
Keeps girls like Lucy from getting lonely. It's all support and advice about kids and rampant gossip.
When your husband leaves you alone for over 24 hours, why, I don't know any girl who wouldn't at least need a drink and some company.
One drink?
Who are we kidding? I'd need five. You'll love the club, Betsy.
Hey, we aren't even engaged yet.
You two are gonna have the cutest little babies.
Ooh, how many do you want?
I don't know if I'm totally ready for kids and the keys to the country squire, you know?
Sorry. David said you'd followed him here, so I assumed.
It's fine.
There you are. Chatting it up with the other ladies, huh? Did you two know? Betsy's an activist.
Radical?
An activist? Wowee, that must be exciting.
I wouldn't say I'm an activist.
You were gonna go to the Sierra Leone. You worry about Vietnam.
I mean, who wouldn't be horrified at my lie?
My lie? Is that like a spin on a Mai Tai?
Lucy, that's offensive. Over 30 people were murdered.
Over 300 people were murdered.
You serious?
Apologies for Jerry. It's hard to keep up with current events in medical school.
Who wants another drink?
Me!
Yes.
Yeah, I love one. Anyway, Jerry, way more than 30 innocent civilians were killed by our military. Children. And no one's held accountable.
Children? Really?
Yes. It must be stopped.
You got a feisty one, David.
I'm not out burning my bra or anything, but I simply cannot stand for that.
What kind of wine did you say that is?
A Riesling.
We'll return to our story in just a moment from the Parcast Network.
And now let's continue the story.
Thanksgiving and Hershey may have brought out the stress and regret Betsy had been feeling over her relationship with David.
Neither of them were exactly part of the free love movement, and society was pushing them towards marriage soon.
Did Betsy really want to be a doctor's wife? Did she want kids before she'd had a chance to change the world? Did she even want to be with David?
Her unease certainly put tension on the relationship.
Was she able to be the girl he wanted?
And if not, what would happen to her?
I'm so glad you came down here.
Uh-huh.
I can really see us having our lives here together.
I don't fit in at all. Your friends don't like that I didn't cook, that I'm wavering about kids.
We want kids. Hey, I promise some of the women around here are more politically engaged than Lucy.
Good.
Now, I really want you to stay all weekend, but I gotta warn you, I'll probably be studying the whole time.
Oh, really? But I've only been here a day.
Finals next week.
Yeah, I have those too.
School never gets easier.
Guess if you'll be working the whole time...
You could spend time with the girls. They like you.
I have a really big 501 paper to write. I should split.
You can't write it from here?
The whole class is on academic research. I need the rare books room in the library.
I'd love to have you here.
For the 5 minutes you can see me?
Well, at least 4 of those 5 minutes.
I'll see you over Christmas.
Of course.
David drove Betsy to the bus stop on Thanksgiving night.
And that was the last time he reported seeing her.
The next morning, Betsy was ready to get down to business on her research.
She and Sharon headed to the library.
Oh, you go on ahead. I have to get my source approved by Messerol.
Okay, I'll save you a seat at my table.
You're the best.
Hi, Betsy Ardsma, correct?
Yes, I'm here for my appointment with Professor Messerol.
Let me get him for you. And I love that red dress.
Thank you.
Professor, your 4:30 is here.
Hello.
Professor Messerol, I'm Betsy Ardsma in your English 501 course.
Betsy, yes. You ask so many questions for a girl.
Sorry.
No. Better to ask questions than assume you can answer them with your own intelligence.
Should I take that as a compliment, or...
Ah, another question. You're here to discuss your paper topic.
Yes. I'd like to write about new instructions to a painter.
Excellent choice. Now, to complement that, you'll need to reference a few books concerning the state of government in 1600s. The history of the Anglo-Saxons, poetic contemporaries.
Okay. Any recommendations?
Try the second floor of the book stacks. There's plenty there.
Sorry, I meant, do you recommend any book in specific?
Now, what's the fun in that?
Okay. Thank you.
Best of luck with your research. My door is always open if you have any more questions.
Thank you.
So Betsy dropped off her hat and scarf with Sharon and dove into the book stacks.
Like many college libraries, the book stacks section of Pattee Library at Penn State wasn't a nice place to be. They were dim, dirty, and slightly eerie.
They were, however, very large and very full of academic resources. So, usually, that section of the library was filled with hundreds of people at any given time.
But due to the holiday, it's estimated that there were only about 90 there when Betsy arrived. Penn State's book stacks held over 800,000 books in the 1960s.
But they were cramped floor to ceiling in the smallest possible area.
The stacks were dimly lit.
With low ceilings.
Narrow staircases.
The smothering, distinct odor of old books. Mingled with the stale sweat from stressed-out students and sexual encounters in secluded aisles.
Said aisles were long and narrow, extending to the walls.
Maybe.
With only one way out.
Art as a form of rebellion. Huh. Oh, here. You go ahead.
Within 5 minutes, Betsy Ardsma was dead, drowned in her own blood.
Next week on Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories...
A mysterious tip-off.
Somebody better help that girl.
Huh?
Means Betsy is found.
Betsy! Betsy! Are you... Oh, God, she's had a seizure!
40 state troopers locked down the library.
We're looking for a tall, strong man.
Sir, could she have been followed by the co-ed killer?
We investigate serial killers active at the time.
You know, Ted Bundy lived in that area.
Was it someone Betsy knew?
I swear, I was miles away.
Or had Betsy seen something she shouldn't have?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll just be on my way.
How can I trust you to keep your mouth shut?
So tune in next week as we attempt to solve the slaying of Betsy Ardsma. And don't forget to subscribe to Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or any other podcast directory. Or through our website, parcast.com. That's parcast.com. A new episode of Unsolved Murders comes out every Tuesday. Let us know what you think and join the conversation on our Parcast Facebook page. You can tweet us at Parcast Network. That's Parcast Network.
We thank you for listening.
And hope you'll join us for next Tuesday when we continue our investigation into the stabbing in the stacks.
If you enjoyed this episode, tell your friends. I'm Wendy McKenzie.
And I'm Carter Roy. We'll see you next time.
If we live till next time.
Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories was created by Max Cutler. It is a production of Cutler Media and is part of the Parcast Network. It is produced by Ron and Max Cutler, sound designed by Ron Shapiro, with production assistance by Joel Stein, and written by Maggie Admire. Unsolved Murders True Crime Stories stars Carter Roy and Wendy McKenzie. The amazing cast of voice actors includes, by alphabetical order, Jerry Courtney Austin, Mike Capozzi, Z. Cruz, Kimberly Holland, Janice Liebhart, Michael Malconian, Gregory Polson, and Vanessa Richardson.